Hello, everyone. Thank you again for listening as we continue remote worship. We praise the Lord that in the continuing struggle with COVID-19, that Jesus Christ is still on the throne. We praise the Lord that in the midst of conflicting theories and public policy, that our Creator is still in charge. We praise the Lord that regardless of this current or any other circumstance, we live in victory because Jesus Christ still reigns. Gracious and loving Lord, thank you that you are our friend. But not only are you our friend, you are our Lord and King, whom we worship and adore. Thank you that regardless of the circumstance, that you still reign, and because you reign, ours is the victory. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Sally will now play a hymn reminding us of the holiness, power, and faithfulness of Christ.
Thank you.
scripture lesson is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing upwards towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the introduction to a sermon, a preacher told of a friend who eagerly anticipated his first viewing of the Pacific Ocean. His great longing turned to disappointment when he actually stepped onto the beach. And he said, in a lamenting tone, I somehow thought it would be bigger. He saw only a fraction of the nearly 64 million square mile ocean and wondered why it wasn't bigger. Is it possible that we somehow do the same with Christ? We believe in Jesus Christ, yet as we deal with life, as we sometimes struggle with life, there is a part of us that says, I somehow thought Christ was bigger. We often recite the Apostles' Creed and profess we believe of Jesus Christ that the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Yet, when life confronts us with its struggles, it is tempting to fall into fear. And for me, that raises a couple of questions. If we are Christians, why do we so often fear? And even though we live in the same world as non-Christians, facing the same societal, health, economic issues that non-Christians do, can we look at life in its sometimes brutal realities and rise above them in the genuine hope and strength of Jesus Christ? Today is Ascension Sunday in the Christian year. And believe it or not, Ascension Sunday speaks to these very issues. The ascension of Jesus back into heaven is the culmination of 40 days of post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. Jesus has already been recognized by his disciples as exalted as he has defeated death and given further instruction and encouragement to them. Jesus' ascension into heaven was the final act of declaring that Jesus is now the Christ who reigns. Thus, the Apostle Peter in the first Christian sermon on the day of Pentecost declared in Acts 2, verses 32 through 36, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven and yet said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. The ascension testifies that Jesus is Lord and King. Even though the struggles of life may tend to send a different message, Jesus as Lord and King is reigning now. This is easily overlooked. The message and the call of the gospel, on the one hand, are very simple. We are saved by grace. Grace is the unearned love and forgiveness of Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is trusting in the promises of Jesus Christ as found in the Bible. We are saved by grace through faith. Then through the power of the Holy Spirit, we live our lives according to the life and the teaching of Jesus. Beyond that point, it's easy to not see the larger picture of Jesus Christ. Part of the reason is, as humans, our spiritual sight and understanding is limited. Like the man who was disappointed in the size of the Pacific Ocean, he was disappointed because he could only see a small portion of the massive body of water. And thus, it seemed small to his human eyes. We can only experience a portion of Christ regardless of our dedication. Our hearts and minds can only soak in a limited amount of Christ. And being that we can only comprehend a small portion of who Christ is, we unintentionally gravitate toward that which is most appealing to us, and thereby not experience as much of Christ as we could. Along that line, I fear that as a preacher, there are times when I try to convey the approachableness and the closeness of Jesus to the extent that I fail to communicate the holiness of Christ. When we struggle, it is comforting to know that Jesus has felt every emotion that we have. It is comforting to know that Jesus has experienced every type of temptation that we have. It is comforting and legitimate to sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." But in the biblical language, Christ now sits at the right hand of the Father in power and glory. Christ now reigns over all that exists. We can now say of Christ what God said through the prophet in Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The ascension declares that Jesus, who lived among us and died for us, is raised from the dead and now reigns with the Father. That thought brings me considerable comfort. Yet I can only speak for John. But if I'm struggling, a friend who understands my struggle, a friend who listens to me, is comforting. But an ally who can do something about it is even better. Jesus, our Savior and friend, comforts us in our struggle. Christ, our Lord and King, who reigns, delivers us or strengthens us so that even in the midst of daunting circumstances, we can live with hope and confidence. During the 1970s, when Dan Fouts was just beginning his march toward the Hall of Fame as the San Diego Chargers star quarterback, he and the Chargers were having a bad day. With just 2 minutes remaining in the game, San Diego was behind 14-0. Frustrations were running high, so the coach pulled Fouts and put in backup quarterback Bobby Douglas. Douglas was thrilled about the opportunity to play, so he strapped on his helmet and he bolted onto the field. And on the way to the huddle, he stopped and he looked back to the sidelines and he yelled, "Coach, do you want me to win the game or just tie it?" Now that's confidence. That's hope. Are there not times in life when we feel like we're behind 14-0 with only 2 minutes left on the clock? It may be health, finances, relationships. But we find ourselves behind, and regardless of what we try to do, we find ourselves making no progress. A friend will understand. A friend will very likely cry with us. Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, reigns. Therefore, we stay in the game of life and we play with hope. We run with confidence. We live with assurance. Our Lord and our King is in charge of the game. And even when we can't figure out what He's doing in the moment, we know the victory is ours. Now, I do have to be honest. Though Jesus Christ reigns and the victory is ours, oftentimes for reasons known only to the wisdom of Christ, our circumstances don't change. Even so, through the strength of Christ, we can live victoriously even in the midst of less the pleasant circumstances. Many years ago, journalist Robert Gordon wrote a series of anecdotes for his grandson, who had asked him to give him some foolproof ideas on how to stay cool in tough situations. In one of the little stories, he says, in quote, "Without doubt, the bleakest period of my life so far was the winter of 1942-1943. I was in the 8th Air Force in England. Our bomber bases, hacked out of English countryside, were seas of mud. On the ground, people were cold, miserable, and homesick. In the air, people were getting shot. Replacements were few. Morale was low. But there was one sergeant, a crew chief, who was always cheerful, always good-humored, always smiling. I watched him one day in a freezing rain struggle to salvage a flying fortress that had skidded off the runway into an apparently bottomless mire. He was whistling like a lark. I said sourly, "Sergeant, how can you whistle in a mess like this?" He gave me a mud-caked grin and said, "Lieutenant, when the facts won't budge, you have to bend your attitudes to fit them. That's all." End quote. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances that aren't or are not going to change. They're not going to budge. They are what they are, and they are what they're going to be, which is not pleasant. But we can bend our attitude. Or perhaps I should say we can have our attitudes bent so that regardless of the circumstance, we live in victory because Jesus Christ reigns. The ascension declares that Jesus Christ reigns over all. And because Jesus Christ reigns, we can live in victory regardless of circumstance. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you that we remember your ascension this day. That after you died and rose again, you ascended to your throne. And so we do thank you that you are our friend, that you know how we feel, you know our struggle, you've been there. But Lord, thank you even more that you are our ally. And not only do you sympathize with us, you have the power over all that confronts us. So Lord, you know as we are in the midst of this current pandemic, you know the struggles individually that persons contend with that often get overshadowed by the current national circumstances. You know what it is in our lives that we contend with. We thank you that you are Lord and King over all. And Lord, we thank you that you have the power to deliver us from those struggles. And we do ask for that because you have the power to do so. But Lord, if you choose not to deliver us from the struggle, bend our attitudes so that we may be victorious in the midst of the struggle. Because you reign, because you ascended, the victory indeed is ours. Thank you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Yeah.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you, now and forevermore. Amen.